Let's pray. Father, we worship you tonight. Lord, you are wonderful. You are great. You are awesome. And we worship you. We thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word to perform it. We thank you that you and your word are one. Your word is your bond, Lord, and you've covenanted with us through the Lord Jesus Christ to watch over your word and to perform it. Father, we thank you that the days and the weeks and the months and the years to come, they are exciting. We look forward to walking this road with you. Lord, I see a bright future. I see a future with you, with each one here, and everyone under the sound of my voice. And I thank you, Lord, as this word goes forth, as I speak this word, I thank you that it penetrates hearts and minds. It's written on the tablets of our hearts. And I thank you that you bring it to our remembrance. I thank you that the anointing that is in your word sets us free. Spirit of God, I thank you that you minister to us. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom and emancipation from bondage. And Father, we worship and thank you. The blood paid the price. Jesus, thank you that you love us so much that you gave yourself for us. Lord, we will be eternally thankful. And Father, I thank you for what you've done for me and what you've done for each one here and everyone that is listening. Thank you, Lord, that the blood has never lost its power and it will never lose its power. The blood continues to set us free. The blood continues to cleanse us. And we worship you tonight. Spirit of God, I yield to you. I receive the word and I speak it forth as you unction me and as you direct me. I thank you that I have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name. We've been speaking about the different kinds of prayer, and I believe next week we'll get to the different kinds of prayer. But we started discussing the instruments that we have, or the different weapons that we have. And remember, I spoke about the name of Jesus last time, and the Word of God. And we saw that the name of Jesus is more than just, you know, his name. It's more than us just sticking something at the end of the prayer. You know, Lord Jesus, please help me in Jesus' name. It's more than that. We saw that his name represents who he is. It represents his authority, his character, his reputation, who he is. And remember, I use myself as an example. When my children want something done, many times they phone somebody that I know, and then the people don't know who they are. Then I say, but did you say Jan van Rooyen asked you? Oh, should I do that? I say, yes. And they phone back, and they say, my father is Jan van Rooyen, and he asked. Guess what? The doors just open, because the people know who I am. They know my character. They know what I stand for. They know my reputation. Amen? And so, my name, Jan van Rooyen, is not just a name. It's who I am. It's who God is in my life. So when people hear my name, it opens doors. How much more the name of God, the name of the Son of God. When we really realize that he has backed his whole person behind his word. And when we put in the name of Jesus in front or in the middle or whatever of our prayer, we will understand that it's more than that. In fact, when we pray, it's his name, that it's his reputation, it's who he is that backs that word up and causes it to come to pass. It's the authority that's there. We spoke about that, and we said also it's the governmental rule that is represented by his name. So the spirit realm, when we pray under the unction of the Spirit in the name of Jesus, because we are found in him, the spirit world pays attention, not just because of our words, but because of the name that is upon us. Remember, he said, write his name on our forehead. And we belong to him. So when we stand in the spirit realm and we start speaking the word, the spirit realm stands to attention. Not because of us, but because of the name, because of the representation, because of the character, because of who he is. Amen. We discussed the word of God. We saw in Psalm 138, verse 2 again, that he has magnified his word above all his name. We saw that every word of God is pure, which means it's refined and it is fused like metal. It's like stainless steel. You can't really mark it. It doesn't rust or anything. It's fused together. It's pure in its composition. And the word of God is like that. And so we need to see that we have the word of God in us and that we immerse ourselves in the word of God so that which comes out of us is the pure word of God, refined and fused like metal. We saw that the word of God is made of none effect through our traditions. When we spoke about traditions, it's rules and regulations and so on. You know, you must do thing 3 times and you must do 14 ways, you know, and so forth. But it's about relationship, and we saw that. And that's where the life comes from. Amen. We saw that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, or that every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It's faith that makes prayer work. It's not prayer that makes faith work. And I wish really that some people will really get that. I mean, you know, we hear a lot of people that, you know, fasting, you know, the drop of a hat, and they start fasting. I mean, you know, if the wind blows or the Holy Spirit blows, you know, they fall over. I don't know if it's under the power or if it's just the wind because they're so thin, you know, because they're always fasting and stuff. And I'm saying, but where's the power? Where is the Christ that's supposed to be in them and through them? If I had to fast as much as some people do, I would be a spiritual giant. But it's not the fasting that makes your prayer work. It's not your present worship that makes your prayer work or your faith work. You understand what I'm saying? You know, okay, I get up every morning at 5 o'clock and, you know, 3 hours, you know, there I go with the Lord. No, if it's not done in faith, it's not doing anything for you. Faith is what makes those things work. In Romans 10:17, we saw that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing and hearing. That's why I say, listen to it over and over. Meditate it. Speak it. Amen? And we saw the Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to get your heart sorted out? Get the word into you. Then you won't have to sit with Anika and me. Just sit with Jesus, okay? Sit with Him in His Word. Praise God. So the third tool or weapon that we have is the Holy Spirit. Now please, it's not like we take the Holy Spirit and now we're going to do warfare with Him. I'm saying it's like a resource. Amen? So it's the name of Jesus, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a person. So it's more like He wants to use us. It's more like we should yield ourselves to Him to be used. But we need to know Him. The Holy Spirit is not just a little cloud that floats around. He's not just a puff of smoke that just appears. He's not just a little flame that appears on somebody's head, you know, like some of the paintings that we've seen, you know, in ancient days when the Holy Spirit came into the upper room. And you see this little flame on top of the people, on top of their heads. That's not it. And I'll touch on some of that again just now. He's a real person. He is God. He's not only with us. He lives within us. And He has clothed us with Himself. So in the spirit realm, when they look at us, whoever or whatever is looking at us, guess who they see? A consuming fire from the loins up and the loins down. It's us. We have to renew our minds. We have to renew the way we think, our attitude, our approach to life and to God and to the spirit realm, so that we manifest Christ. In other words, we die daily so that He can live. He increases so I can decrease. So it's all Him and none of me. And again, it's not in, you know, shame, shame, I'm this poor worm kind of stuff. You are valuable and precious. You are someone and somebody to God. In fact, He knows your name. In fact, He counts the hairs on your head. And Henry Hinn, that's Benny's brother, I sat under his ministry a couple of times years ago. I mean, more than 20 years ago. And he spoke out of the Hebrew and explained it. And, you know, we have this thing, God counts our hair, you know, number one over here, number two, number three, number four. No. It's number one over here, and on the back of your head it's number two, and on the left front here it's number three, and on over there it's number four, and in the middle here it's number five. That's how God counts. So He knows the order. That's how intimately you are known. So if we are known that intimately, we might as well get to know Him. And then walk in Him. And He manifests Himself on the earth today. It's the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So in everything, if we can learn this, and not only learn it, if we can walk it as an experience, we can experientially walk with the Holy Spirit. I mean, Yongi Cho, he would invite the Holy Spirit to come and sit on this seat over here. I remember when I was learning to walk with the Holy Spirit, I was a rep and I was on the road. And one day, in fact, I read that book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, and I heard that Benny was, you know, inviting the Holy Spirit, you know, to come and sit in the front there and the whole thing. And so I said, well, then I won't have all my papers on the left-hand seat. So when I got into my car, I invited the Holy Spirit. I felt like an idiot initially. But you know what? Something happened. Even though I didn't feel anything, my emotions weren't touched. And I started talking to him. I started speaking to him as if he was there, because he was. He says, if we draw close to him, what will he do? He will draw close to us. So I said, Holy Spirit, I invite you. Come with me in the car. He was there already. In fact, he's in me. But to cultivate that experience, to experientially walk with him, because he calls us his friends, so he should be our friend, or our friend. Amen? I think it's absolutely important, because you know what? When we go into the world, when we go into Jerusalem, when we go into the marketplace, we go into society and we have that kind of manifest presence in us and upon us and with us. Lives will change. You don't even have to do anything. You don't necessarily have to speak. Just by who you are and who He is in you and through you, things change. Satan is a defeated foe. We know that. And we're supposed to take the territory back. But you know what? It's easier than what we think. We just bring the light in and then darkness just leaves. And remember, we've gone over that. But I think we need to get the Holy Spirit in perspective as a person. And not get all religious and, you know, strange. You know, because some people, you know, the Holy Spirit. You know, and they're strange. They're flaky. I don't want you to be flaky. I don't want to be flaky. I want to be real. I believe the Holy Spirit is real. He doesn't judge. He doesn't condemn. Even though we make mistakes, we think that then He leaves, you know. No, He doesn't. He's still there to give you the victory. In fact, He's given you the victory. All He wants you to do is just lean upon Him. He doesn't leave if you sin. It doesn't matter what you do. He doesn't leave. We think He does, because we feel convicted. We feel condemned in our own hearts. And so that condemnation is so strong in our own hearts that, I'm not sensing God anymore. So He must have left. He doesn't leave. He's right there with us. We've got to get this thing out of our mind that, He's with us and He's not with us and all that. He said He will never leave us or forsake us. He's with us. If we can just renew our minds to that fact. Just meditate on that. I mean, how awesome. He doesn't leave us. And we think that we depart from Him. We don't, because He's always with us. So you can't. Unless you do the unpardonable. But I don't think there's anybody here that's interested in doing the unpardonable. So even if we think we're backsliding away from Him, He's with us to woo us back. Awesome. And that's what Jesus paid for. To get Him inside us. To make, you know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. To make us that temple. For us to be that portable temple. You are the Holy of Holies. Powerful. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and then verse 14. Luke 4, verse 1, and verse 14. And we're just going to share some verses out of the Bible to just make it a bit more practical. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan. Remember, he had just been baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Okay? Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. I actually looked at that word wilderness. Now, obviously, we knew he went into the desert. But there were some interesting meanings to that. It was a lonely place. It was an empty, it means an empty room, an empty space. To actually make yourself lonely and to separate yourself into a quiet place. We need to have that. We're very busy. I know all of us are busy, but you know what? We have to make that time. Even if we do it in the middle of the night. I believe we need to make that time. That lonely time. And I know with Annika and I at the moment, he's pulling on us. He's unctioning us to separate ourselves, to spend that time with him. And so we're trusting him to make more time available for us. There's only 24 hours, so he's got to do something somewhere. But we have that pull in our spirit to be lonely with him and to be alone with him. Because we are full of the Holy Ghost. So when we go in there, in our prayer closet in the morning or whatever it is, we are full of the Holy Ghost. But you know what? In verse 14 of Luke chapter 4 it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." There's just something, and it doesn't matter whether I do it in the morning. I prefer to do it in the morning, although I'm a late night person. I get a kick out of it, I can put it like that. I get empowered. I come out of that time, and even if it is just for, sometimes I just sit there for an hour, hour and a half. I just sit there. Sometimes, no music or anything. I just sit there and I say, "Here I am. I'm waiting on you." Because the scripture says, if I wait upon him, they that wait upon the Lord will what? Will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. And they will rise up as if on the wings of an eagle. They that wait. So I wait. So guess what? I come flying out of there. And I haven't said one word sometimes. I remember when I was teaching Sasha how to wait on the Lord. I think it was a week or 2 weeks. All we did basically, we just sat there. And I think you probably learned more in that time of nothing than any other time. Because he's faithful. In the mornings when I go to my prayer closet, I hear him. Yeah, I hear it, you know. But I hear now sometimes it's very quiet there. So I believe that he's learned. Unless he's not there, obviously. But that time of waiting, the time that I spent alone with him, he leads me in how I must do that. Because I want to please him. So he says, "Listen, I just want to sit with you. I don't want you to just wada wada and talk, you know. Just sit with me." So I say, "Okay, I'll just sit with you." And it's just great. And he imparts something into my spirit. He imparts spiritual substance. He imparts this power. And I come out of there in the power of the Spirit. "And there went out fame of him throughout all the region about." You see that? Let the Lord promote you. That's what we've learned over the years. You honor God, you honor his word, you spend the time with him, then he will promote you. That's what I believe that means. "And they went out fame of him." So we see that the Holy Spirit comes in power upon us and he empowers us. Luke chapter 24 verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye," or wait in the city of Jerusalem, "until you be endued with power from on high." Now remember, that was the first time that the Holy Spirit was poured out. That's what he was referring to. But I'm saying, he definitely came. There was definitely a time that he was released into the earth. And we need to utilize that. There's not one here in this room that I know that's not baptized in the Holy Spirit and full of the Holy Spirit. We all are. But you know, there's a scripture that says, be filled, be continually filled with the Holy Ghost. Be being filled. This is the literal translation. Be not drunk with wine, but be being filled. What does it mean? It's the same as when I fill up a glass of water and I keep drinking. Be being filled with him. Be being empowered from on high. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After what the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You want to walk in power? Allow Him to minister to you. Get to know Him. Sometimes we are fearful of the things that He will show us. And sometimes, you know, the things that He shows us, it's not positive. You know, we want to sit with Him and, oh, it's so great. And there are those times. But many times He shows up the motives of our hearts. Why? Because He wants a pure heart. So He can work in us and through us and manifest Himself to people, because He needs a pure vessel for that. Does He need us to be perfect? In Christ we are perfect. But if we want to be used by Him, just have a pure heart. He doesn't expect perfection, because Christ is our perfection. If we have to wait until we perfect, we will wait forever. We will never do anything. We will never step out in faith and do anything for Him. He's in the process of perfecting us. And if we walk with Him, and if we allow Him to walk with us and speak into our lives, that process that He has started, the sanctification, the Christ-likeness that I keep on speaking about, of Him being formed in us, that process will continue on. That good work which He has started in us. Remember, it's a good work. It's a good work that He started in us. Because we are sons of God, and He wants us to manifest in the earth. The whole of creation is waiting, and the whole of creation is groaning and travailing for what? For the revelation of the sons of God. The whole of creation is waiting for us. Derek, Skulk, Lindy. It's waiting for you. To be manifested. But it's a work of the Spirit. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what? I think if we actually got that verse, the earth would be a different place. The world would be a different place. Because, you know, we send out missionaries, and I don't say we mustn't send out missionaries and things. But you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. That's the place where you're anointed. Because remember, He says in the previous verse, Luke 24:49, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Where's your Jerusalem? It's there where you live. So manifest there. This is what we're doing here. We're manifesting in our Jerusalem. Has God called us to go to different places? Yes. We have open doors to go to Australia, New Zealand, to America, Canada, England, Germany, France apparently now. Have we gone yet? No. Because we're still busy in Jerusalem. But you see the order there. First Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. I believe that our oikos, our household, where we are, we need to make sure that that is a functioning organism or entity before we try and evangelize everything else. Let's get to work here. It must work here first. Amen. I've seen too many of these things. You know, money is spent by ministries and churches on sending people out. And we've had in the last 2 or 3 years, we've been privy to some of the big ministries. And there's actually financial corruption and stuff that goes on in them. And they collect millions and millions of rands. And I think, Lord, you know, in some of these ministries, they're just evangelizing and they're sending missionaries and they're feeding millions of people, and so it goes on. And I think, but how is it possible that the people that are actually working there are like that? Backbiting and backstabbing, and you just can't believe it. And I'm not saying that God didn't call the man or the woman who's leading that organization. But I think sometimes we lose the plot. I think sometimes we are so busy with the work of the Lord that we forget about the Lord of the work. So the power comes upon us to start where we are at. In fact, it starts with me. It starts with you. The first piece of earth that has to be redeemed is the one you're sitting in. Because you're made from the dirt. So that's, you're made from earth. So that's the first piece of earth that needs to be redeemed, especially the one between your ears. That piece of gray matter, that really needs to be redeemed. And it's by the help and by the work of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. A rushing mighty wind. Rushing mighty wind. You know, some of our thunderstorms here, you know, you get that sense of a mighty rushing wind. I think that's more like, you know, what happened there. And I will get into that a little bit more. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we know the rest of the story. And that they would prophesy and so forth, and that they were not drunk, etc., etc. But the Holy Spirit, we need to honor Him and respect Him for who He is. When He comes upon us, mighty rushing wind that came in the upper room there. I don't just believe that it was little tongues of fire. If we read in Deuteronomy 4 verse 24, for instance, let's have a look. Deuteronomy 4 verse 24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. That's a very early reference. And then Hebrews 12 verse 29 quotes the same scripture. For your God is a consuming fire. So when the Holy Spirit comes, He's not just coming like a little plastic big lighter, you know, flick on top of you, little flame comes. No, He's a consuming fire. Because when He comes upon us, He wants to consume that which is carnal and which is of the flesh, so that what we manifest is pure and holy. He's called the Holy Spirit. Catherine Kuhlman, the Holy Spirit. She used to always speak like that. Because He's the one that makes us holy, but He is holy. He comes like a consuming fire because fire cleanses and purges. Right? So I don't believe that in the upper room, there was just this little flame that came and sat on their heads. There was a mighty rushing wind. And I think I've shared it before. You know, when you hear a jet engine start, we hear them here all the time because we're right by the airport. In the middle of the night, you hear them, this massive roar. If you look at the back of that thing, there's this fire that comes out of it. I think it sounded more like that when He came in, because He's this fire from His loins up and His loins down. So there He came. And He came and He sat on them. That's what they heard. It's not like a wind was blowing through there. He came to consume. He came to take over. And we need to understand that's who He is. And it's wonderful in our meetings. Yes, the fire of the Lord is here. Come and get the fire. We need to understand that when He comes in fire like that, He comes to purge and cleanse. And whatever foundation is in your life that is built out of wood and hay and stubble, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be burnt up. And that's what happens. We've seen it time and time again. People say, yes, Lord, send the fire. And then their lives fall apart. But Lord, I experienced your presence so wonderfully. Yes, but I've just shown you that there's no foundation. That which you built your life on was nothing. So now you've got to rebuild. And it's a sad thing if we don't understand that. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man, the man with the capital M. So we know who the man is. God. Verse 27. From what had the appearance of his waist upward, I saw a luster as it were glowing metal, with the appearance of fire enclosed round about within it, and from the appearance of his waist downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and there was brightness round about him. Pretty fiery. Okay? Let's go to Genesis. Genesis 15. I'm sharing this with you just to let us understand and let us realize who the Holy Spirit is. Yes, He is our friend. He is our comforter, and we can go to Him. But there are times, a lot of times, that He is serious. And we need to respect that. That He's also serious in us to minister to us and cleanse us and to form Christ in us, but also to minister through us into the lives of others. And there comes a time when you've walked with somebody for a year, 2 years, 3 years, all of a sudden you sense it as if the mercy disappears. And it's not the mercy that's disappearing. It's God that's starting to judge the things that are not right. It's starting to purify. Because as we move closer to Him, as we hunger for Him, remember, we draw close to Him and He draws close to us. And the closer we draw to Him, guess what? In the awesome light that He is, the things that are hidden in our hearts will start showing up. And so the fire will come and consume that. If it's flesh, it will consume that. That's what it does. We don't necessarily like that. But it's something we need to understand. Genesis 15 from verse 12. And remember, this was when Abraham cut covenant with the Lord. And he was still Abram. A-B-R-A-M. From verse 12. Well, let's look at verse 10. Remember, he took those animals and he cut them down the middle. And he brought him all these, which was the she-goat, the ram, turtle dove, young pigeon, heifer. And he brought him all these and cut them down the middle into halves and laid each half opposite the other, but the birds he did not divide. And when the birds of prey swooped down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. When the sun was setting, a deep sleep overcame Abram. And a horror, a terror, a shuddering fear. He went into travail. A horror of great darkness assailed and oppressed him. That's the presence of God. You can read a number of places where God was hidden in the darkness. And God said to Abram, how's that? How would you like to have that experience? A little bit different from what we have. You know, come forward and come and have a touch of the Holy Spirit. Woo, ha, ha, and there we go. I think if we mean business with God, this is what's going to start happening. We will pick up a travail for souls and for what God wants, for His purposes. And then it's not a laughing matter anymore. I think we laugh first and then this comes. And God said to Abram, know positively that your descendants will be strangers dwelling as temporary residents in a land that is not theirs and will be slaves there and they will be afflicted for 400 years. Verse 14, but I will bring judgment on that nation whom they will serve and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. And you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And in the fourth generation they shall come back to Canaan again for the iniquity of the Amorites of that region and later included in the people of Canaan is not yet full and complete. Okay? So he's giving him all these promises. Then verse 17. When the sun had gone down and a thick darkness had come on, lo, a smoking oven and a flaming torch passed between those pieces. You see, you come and you offer yourself to the Lord. This is the kind of thing that's going to happen to you. It's not going to be necessarily such a joyous thing. A smoking oven and a flaming torch passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. You see that? There's a death that has died. We really want to move with the Spirit of God. There's a consuming fire that's going to come into our lives. That'll change us. That'll make us totally radical. And I know we've all tasted that. But I believe that we go deeper and deeper. I believe that the Lord is calling us deeper. Again, Romans 8 talks about the whole of creation is in travail and groaning for the revelation of the sons of God. But these sons of God are going to be dead to self, dead to the things of the world. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to be involved in worldly things, that we will not own things. I believe there's going to be financiers and multimillionaires, but they will be dead to those things. These things are just instruments in their hands, so that they cannot be bought by that. That they're totally sold out. They belong to God. He has consumed everything out of them that is not of Him, that is not Christ-like. And I don't think there's anyone in this room that doesn't want that. We all want that. And I think it's just when the fire comes, John Sanford says, when that ball of fire comes, just embrace it, man. You know, just grab it and hold on for dear life and let him burn. And it's not just spiritually a ball of fire that comes like the anointing. It's when we are faced in daily life with situations. It's like this person that Annika was talking about that's sitting with a marriage situation. It's a fiery situation. But that person's going to come out there with strong character. That person's going to come out of that trial strong and full of the Lord. Because that person is in a desolate, lonely place at this point in time. Was it God's will for the marriage to go wrong and so on? No, I don't believe so. But people's wills are involved. And God will eventually have His way with the other party. But the counsel was given. Embrace the fire. And so things have started changing. That's what we got to do. Let me tell you something. The call of God will kill you. That which God has called you to do. Don't try and do what Ray McCauley is doing or Kenneth Copeland is doing or Rick Joyner is doing. Do what God's told you to do. Because you try and follow another man's calling, that will literally physically kill you. You will not fulfill your calling. But take that thing that God has given you, that cross. Pick up your cross. And that cross will kill you so that you can fulfill what God has got for you. That cross that you pick up is God's call on your life. That will form Christ in you. That will put the flesh to death. That will allow the Spirit to come free in your life. Anyway, so we see after all of this, with the fire coming and the death and the sacrifice that has taken place, covenant was made. Yes, in Christ we have a covenant with God and so forth. We're covenant children of the living God and so on. But it's time that we manifest it. That we become this. That when somebody comes in contact with you, there's something here. There's something here. I can't touch, I can't connect, there's something here. I can't pull on them, I can't manipulate them, I can't influence their mind, I can't do anything. What is this that you've got? What is this power that you have? Remember I shared before when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would go to work and my clients would fall down under the power on the other side. God would just baptize them, boom. They would phone back half an hour later. I mean, you try and phone them in the meantime, the phone's hanging. It's off the hook. They would phone back and say, what's this power that you have? And I mean, yes, I was pretty young on the Lord, but you know what? There's a time coming. We talk about this. We read about it. Our shadows will heal the people. We're talking about that. But we will be dead people. Praise God. So I think we have a bit of a better understanding here. Let's honor and respect the Holy Spirit for who He is. But let's get to know Him. So, now that we know a bit more about Him, let's talk about something that He's given us. He's given us gifts. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are very important when we pray. If I pray for somebody, many times the Lord shows me something in their lives by the Spirit. I was just chatting to somebody, I think it was last week or the week before in Pretoria. And I had this impression that this person was involved with computers. But the person looked very unlikely, didn't look like a computer kind of a person. And the person shared with me what kind of business they were involved with. And then I said, but computers. And So it was right, yes. I said, but this is the Lord. The Lord's telling you to do this. They're writing special programs for training and education and so forth. But I sensed it correctly. And that was by the Spirit. I don't actually know this person. This came and chatted with me, wanted some advice. And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit are important. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1 says this. Well, let's start reading from 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren and sisters. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. We must know how they work. We must know how to flow with the Holy Spirit to manifest them in us and through us. What we have done in the church, we have made them the focus instead of the person of the Holy Spirit. So we've focused on His gifts, but we have neglected Him. And because we focused on the gifts, some of that has gone awry. It has gone wrong. We've prophesied incorrectly. We've discerned funny things, and some people have become flakes. I call them, what do we call them? Prophetic groupies. They go to every prophetic meeting. And they just run after the prophets and prophecy and stuff. And that's not, I believe, what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us, but He doesn't want us ignorant. In fact, we need to know how it works. We need to have these things in proper perspective. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols even as you were led. Wherefore I gave you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So we need to know the God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. There you have it. Don't be scared to flow in the Holy Spirit. Don't be scared to flow in the gifts. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What does that profit mean? It means to bring benefit. And even if it has to bring financial profit, if God gives you insight into the financial system, into a business deal, on how to make it work more successfully, to raise finances for the kingdom, then it will truly bring profit. But I believe that to profit with all is to bring the blessing of God, to manifest the kingdom of God. It's given to every man. So, Lenny, you can flow in it. Bobby, you can. Sasha, Kara, anybody, under the sound of my voice, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you can flow. And you have to. Don't be ignorant. Flow in the gifts. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And we're not going to go into the detail of that. But it's important for us to learn to flow in the Spirit. It can save your life. It can save your life. The Lord can tell you not to do or go somewhere. Take a detour, take a different road, and that can save your life. Amen? I think I shared this before. Joe van den Berg, the prophet at Hatfield Church, he used to walk to work, and he used to walk past the Air Force headquarters in Pretoria, in Church Street. And then one day he was on his way, and the Lord said, go around the back of the Poynton's building. And so he thought, okay. So he started walking around the back of the Poynton's building. When he was in the middle at the back of the Poynton's building, a massive bomb went off in front of the Air Force headquarters, and he would have been right there. And so he wouldn't have been around to bless the body of Christ. It was just a still small voice that spoke to him. It's a word of knowledge. And we've sat under his ministry, powerful prophet of God. So it can save your life. When we prophesy, or when we have received prophecy, we need to use that word like we would use a weapon, like a bow and arrow or a sword or a rifle. It must be directed in a specific direction as the Lord leads us, or in a direction that we know where we want change, where we want something to be released, where we want a bondage to be broken. We need to use the word of God and prophecy like we would use a weapon, with purpose. And here I have for you 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. And you've heard this before. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. According to the prophecies which went before on thee. So, either Paul prophesied over him, other people may have prophesied over him. So he says, according to those prophecies that have been prophesied over you, that by them you might war a good warfare. So with prophecy, with prophetic words, with the gifts of the Spirit, we can wage a good warfare. So that's why we need to know the Holy Spirit, so that we can sense how He's leading us. We can sense how He's releasing the gifts in us and through us, how He's releasing prophecy, how He's releasing the word, so that we can wage a good warfare. Amen? We must not be ignorant. So we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Another thing that we have, that we receive from the Holy Spirit, is the fruit of the Spirit. We don't always look at the fruit of the Spirit as weapons. But they are. We need to have a balance. Not just the gifts of the Spirit, but we should have the gifts of the Spirit tempered with and by the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 16. We read from there. This I say then, this is Paul speaking to the Galatians, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Thank God, and then he says such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I believe that thing there, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, has to do here. I believe that if you continue on in those things, that you could possibly lose your salvation and then really not inherit the kingdom of God. But I believe if we're walking in the flesh, we are not going to inherit the kingdom of God here. You will just reap death and destruction in your life. It's not going to be well with you if you do those things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. They're the opposite of all of those things. And there are also nine of them. Just like there's nine gifts, there are nine fruits. And one day I will sit down and trust the Lord to match them up for me. Because I think there must be a connection somewhere. And so, the fruit of the Spirit are opposites of those negative things, those sinful things that we just read. So when we are confronted with a situation, we can flow in the gifts, but we need to operate in the opposite spirit. We need to operate in the Holy Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit. So if somebody is in front of us and they're showing hatred towards us, and they're manifesting hatred, then what do? We come in the opposite spirit, which would be what? Love, joy, peace. Well, actual fact, you can operate in all of them. And it won't influence you. And in fact, it will protect you. And in fact, if you have that atmosphere within you and upon you, the gift of the Spirit will flow in you, and you could possibly speak into that person's life, get to the root of the hatred, and speak straight into it, and set that person free. Some of us, or most of us, are in business. How many times have you been faced with a situation where clients are negative and they you know, doing all sorts of funny stuff, or they don't pay or something. And so guess what we want to do? We want to give them a piece of our mind, isn't it? No. Let's give them a piece of the mind of Christ. Let's wait on the Lord and let's see how He ministers into the situation. Not always easy, but it's something that you have to train yourself to do. But you can only do that if you have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, where you have that continuous abiding presence, where in the face of the situation, you can minister into the situation or just wait. You know, many people just wait for something to go away and it just gets worse. But we have something else. We can wait upon the Lord and He will renew our strength. And we've seen that many times. I've said to Annika, she will say to me, there's a situation with her business. There's a situation. And I say, well, I have nothing really from the Lord. Let's just wait. Okay. And so then we'll pray. We'll say, Lord, we just commit this to You and we trust You and we just wait. And sometimes it's not 5 minutes. Sometimes it's not 5 hours. Sometimes it's within 24 hours. Sometimes a couple of days. She phones back, remember that situation? Yeah, it just solved itself. The person sorted it out. They came to us. They paid. They did whatever they needed to do. Just because we didn't act in the flesh. But now we could have picked up the phone and said, now you listen here. You know what I'm saying? We've all done that, haven't we? Or maybe none of you have done that, yeah. It's only me that's done that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Verse 23, it says, against such there is no law. Think about that. There is no law. You are allowed to. You have the blessing of heaven to, brother, I love you anyway. And just be kind and nice to you. There's no law. Doesn't matter how much they jump up and down and spit and cry and scream and whatever they do. There's no law against the fact that you just love him and you're just kind to him. I can't stand it that you're so nice and kind to me. Why are you like that? There's no law against that. And that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Isn't that amazing how that comes afterwards? So you manifest the fruits, and guess what he says? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. So if you could start walking in that, it means there's some kind of death that has taken place. So maybe with some of us, there's not a lot of death that has taken place. It's just the grace. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, we live in the Spirit. We love, you know, we're living in the Spirit. But let us walk in the Spirit. Let us manifest it. Let's bring that which is in the Spirit realm. Let's manifest it in the natural. Let's manifest the kingdom of God. There's no law against that. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And in line with that, remember we shared this before. John 14 verse 30. Jesus said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes. And he has nothing in me. Nothing what? Nothing darkness. So if we can allow the fire of the Spirit to come and purify us and cleanse us, there will be no darkness in us. If there's no darkness in us, he has no hold on us. There's nothing that he can get a hold of to, you know, destroy us or work against us, you know, to take the power away that we're supposed to walk in. There's nothing he can do. It must be pretty nasty for him. Comes to somebody and there's nothing that he can find. Imagine that. No loopholes, no nothing. But God has called us to that. Not one day in the sweet by and by. Yeah, on the sweet now. Or the sweet, nasty and ugly, or whatever you want to call it. Second Corinthians 10 verse 3. From verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You see, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, walking in the gifts of the Spirit, walking in love, those are not things you can feel really. But the effects of what's on the inside of us, the effects of the fruit of the Spirit can be seen on the outside. Our actions can be determined by those fruits. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So in other words, it's not bows and arrows and swords and guns and stuff. But mighty through God. Or I can say, mighty through the Holy Spirit, who lives in me, who is upon me. To the pulling down of strongholds. What kind of strongholds? Strongholds in my own life and strongholds in the lives of others. Casting down imaginations. Where are imaginations? In the mind. So, let's use the example of just now. You confront this, or you come into the presence of this guy who's manifesting hatred. But where does that hatred come from? There's an imagination with him that it was created by something. Maybe something was done to him when he was little. And so a root of bitterness and hatred has grown in his heart. But it's because of an imagination, because of a perception, because of a seed that was sown. And so a picture has grown on the inside of him, in his heart and in his mind. It's an imagination. And so he's manifesting that. And it's becoming real. But we can cast that down. If we have allowed the Spirit of God through the Word and through the anointing to cast those things down in our lives, we can come in the purity, like Matthew 5 verse 8 says, the pure in heart shall see God. So we can come into the presence of that person and we can see the work of Christ in him. We can see what God wants for him. We can see his plan. We can see God in him. He might not be saved yet, but we can see how God sees him. The pure in heart will see God. You want to get to that place. Many times when I'm ministering to people and when I'm looking at them, I'm not judging the stuff that they tell me in counseling and so on, and the diabolical things that people have done to them. You know what? I just say, Lord, I want to see Christ. And so he starts showing me what they're about, what he's called them to do. And then I start forming a picture by the Spirit, and the Lord says, that thing that happened to them there is to stop this from manifesting. And you know what? Before long, we get to the root of the thing. And we deal with it. We cast down that imagination. I was counseling somebody last week. And they thought a certain person in their lives was the cause of all their problems. And we allowed the Spirit of God to move. And guess what? It wasn't that person. It was somebody else. But it was an imagination. The moment that imagination came down, they were set free. And we had somebody else sitting in the meeting who was just listening. That person, all of a sudden, I mean, they were just watching and they were just listening, and God touched them as well. Showed them a whole lot of things. Imaginations were cast down. Which means that the strongholds came down. That which was controlling and manipulating their lives, which was destroying their lives, came down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See? Those imaginations will try and tell you, this is what God has for you. Or will try and blame God, you know, that kind of thing. And it tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. It tries to exalt itself and make itself more important than a word of God. A lot of what we imagine sounds kind of like the word of God sometimes. But like in the Garden of Eden, it's got a slight twist, you know, did the Lord really say, you know, and it's just got a slight twist to it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See? Christ is the living Word. We need to bring those things down into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Powerful. Spiritual weapons. But it's not just something we do on our own. It's by the Holy Spirit. We walk with Him. He speaks to us. He brings the Word to our remembrance. He bubbles up from the inside of us. He brings Word that has been buried in our spirit. Seed that has been sown for many years. He brings it to our remembrance. And then he shows us things. He opens our eyes. He shows us the real truth. As we know the truth, the word says, as we know the truth, we will be set free. It's not just the truth that sets you free. As you know the truth, you will be set free. So he starts showing you things about these imaginations and these things that you've exalted in your mental realm. And you see the real truth about that, and it's cast down, and the truth of the Word of God, the Spirit of truth comes in, and he sets you free. And we all know Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So walking with the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to speak the Word and bring it to our remembrance, for allowing Him in us to manifest the gifts, allowing Him in us to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, will bring deliverance, will bring freedom and liberty, will manifest the kingdom of God. And remember, we're talking about different kinds of prayer, and now next week we'll touch on the different kinds of prayer. But if we can grasp what I've spoken about tonight, I've dedicated the whole session just to the Holy Spirit, and I mean, we can speak about Him for the next 10 weeks. But if we can be yielded to the Spirit, and even if Skulk and I would say, let's pray, we pray for your father or something for his business, and we start agreeing together, and we start coming before the Lord, and because we are one Spirit in Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit, God will start showing us things in the man's life. God will start showing us things in his business. And we can start prophesying. We can start operating by the gifts of the Spirit and bring release in there. Because we've allowed God in us to bring release, to cast down strongholds and vain imaginations and so on. Because everything I'm sharing is about our prayer life, the secrets of prayer. So imagine us getting to that point where it's not just a formula of prayer anymore. It's that lifestyle of prayer. It's the Spirit of God moving in us and through us. It's my Spirit by the Holy Spirit prays. And I'm not just talking that my Spirit by the Holy Spirit prays in tongues. It's my Spirit by the Holy Spirit that prays in my understanding, in a known language, the Word of God into a situation, just speaking it and bringing release and life. Like Jesus, starting to walk like Jesus. Because whatever He spoke, it had purpose to it. It brought some kind of result. He prophesied His own future many times, if you go and read Scripture. But nothing came out of His mouth that was without purpose, that was not unctioned by the Spirit. And I believe that we need to walk in that dimension as we pray. So let's close in prayer. Spirit of God, I thank You that You are here, present. You're present here with us, but You are within us. Thank You that You have shown us more about Yourself. And we honor You, and we respect who You are. Thank You that You live within us. Spirit of God, we draw close to You, and Your Word says, as we draw close to You, You draw close to us. We want to know You more. We want to walk in Your ways. We want to do what the Word says, to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we thank You that we've embarked on a new road. And tonight, we commit that we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to get to know You more. Lord Jesus, we worship You and we thank You that It's because of what you have done and who you are that we are here tonight, being able to share about the Holy Spirit and to share in Him. Father, we thank You that You've given us Your Spirit. It's by Your Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father, which makes us Your sons. We worship You, Father. We bless You, Lord. We exalt You. Thank You for Your word, Lord. In Jesus' name.